Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Jonathan Schanzer, Executive Director of Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, joins, and we plunge immediately into Gaza. The last detail we had is that negotiations about the hostages are at the same impasse they've been for months, years now. We also have this story of humanitarian group taking aid into Gaza, may or may not involve the UN. I believe it's deliberately fog of diplomacy, so I need Jonathan's help. Jonathan, the food security of Gaza has been in question for some days now. At the same time, Hamas has wanted us to know that they've executed 4 looters. All these stories generally relate to food security, or do they? Is this posturing outside of war fighting? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, the discussion right now focuses around a new entity created by Israel. It's a new organization called the Gaza Humanitarian Fund. It began distributing supplies yesterday after a fair amount of back and forth. It really does appear that the UN does not want to support this new initiative. It's a bit of a battle right now over who gets to administer the humanitarian assistance, the food delivery, the medicine and other goods to the Gaza Strip. I think the Israelis wanted to take the initiative here with this GHF, as it's known, the Gaza Humanitarian Fund, primarily because they were losing the battle for hearts and minds. They have been accused now for months of depriving the people of Gaza. And what they want to do is to start to do this on their own. Of course, you now have the UN and perhaps other countries saying that Israel does not have the credentials, or because they're doing the war fighting, that they should not be doing this. But let's just say, John, that we, of course, here in the United States, with the battles that we've fought in the Middle East, we have been the ones that have been providing assistance while simultaneously waging battles. I do think that the Israelis have a lot to prove here. They will need to show, the burden of proof will be on them, that they are delivering this assistance. But if they are, they may actually solve for a huge problem, which has been the United Nations, which has been maligning Israel at every turn since this war began. So this could be, if the Israelis are successful, this could be a way to neutralize some of these broadsides that they have been incurring from the international community.
When we say UN, do we mean UNRWA?
UNRWA is part of the equation here, but it's also the humanitarian office, OCHA, as it's known. These are the ones that have been calling upon Israel. This organization has been calling upon Israel to reopen all the crossings into Gaza and approvals for more emergency supplies. So they've been doing this, plus the UNRWA. It is a full gaggle of UN agencies that have been accusing Israel of wrongdoing, of deprivation, of starvation. And so they continue to oppose any Israeli initiative. But yet again, they don't appear to be delivering exactly what's needed. They prefer to blame Israel for holding up supplies while they are, in fact, responsible for the delivery of said supplies. So now the Israelis are saying, that's enough, we're going to do it ourselves.
Isn't UNRWA completely compromised so that not only did it aid and abet the Hamas, but it was part of Hamas and remains suspect? And in addition, as I recall, UNRWA has a payroll that is vast, a huge number of people. So we're feeding UNRWA to do the bidding of Hamas? Is that how it looks?
Well, interestingly, John, the Israelis have actually now blocked UNRWA from operating in the territories. And so that's part of the issue here, is that the UN is sort of crying foul over the fact that they're not able to get this organization in there. But you are 100% right that UNRWA was a partner to Hamas. We saw that there were tunnels that have snaked under UNRWA facilities. The Israelis actually discovered a server farm that was plugged into the UNRWA headquarters in Gaza City. This is essentially what was enabling Hamas to maintain an encrypted network of communications devices that kept Israel from being able to hack in and to decipher how they were communicating, what they were communicating to one another. But UNRWA has lost all credibility. I think that is what in part has precipitated this crisis, because now that UNRWA is not involved, and yes, there are thousands of people on this payroll and they are now being cut off from that payroll, there is, I think there are a lot of questions right now swirling, John, about who will administer from the UN, whether the UN still has any credibility left. And the fact that the UN endorsed UNRWA up until the very last moment before Israel cut it off, I think really it's a black mark, it's a black eye for the United Nations. And by the way, John, one last thing I'll just note. The Department of Justice here in the United States has now determined that UNRWA can be sued, that it is now legally liable, that the families of those who have suffered as the result of Hamas terrorism, that they can potentially hold UNRWA to account. So they have now been they're now susceptible to legal action by U.S. persons and Israeli persons or anyone else who wishes to potentially sue. So we're going to see how that works out. But certainly you get a sense that the UN control over the borders, over the aid, over the assistance, that that's beginning to unravel, and that perhaps it is a good thing that the Israelis have stood up this new entity to deliver aid.
You guide me to understand that this headline has weight beyond its immediacy. Germany shifts tone on Israel over, quote, incomprehensible Gaza carnage. Now, this is a battle zone. I mentioned that Germany knows a great deal about battle zones and civilian casualties. So I take this heavily, because they've been, since the 80 years now, they've been burdened with a guilt of what they rendered in Europe in the 20th century. The puzzle here is what is to be done. Germany's not coming forward with answers. They're standing back as coat holders on good days, and on bad days, they join with the general chorus of just stop the war and then we can reorganize. So is this significant that the Merz government has decided to step up and act like a, you know, finger wag?
I think it's a bit beyond finger wagging, John, and I think it's important to understand that, yes, the Germans have long been the top supporters of Israel in Europe. For historical reasons, as you suggest, they feel very responsible for the continued survival and the thriving of the Jewish state, given that they were responsible in large part for the catastrophe that preceded the Israel's creation. And so what we've seen over the years is that Germany often sticks its neck out far beyond where the Brits or the French or some of the others in Europe may typically want to go. And it is that responsibility that they take very seriously. Right now, the German government is now warning Israel that they need to end the war, that the suffering that they're seeing right now of the Gazan people, that, you know, they're just essentially asking out loud. What I think, you know, some Israelis are asking, certainly some here in the U.S., it's really a question of how much more can be accomplished by waging war in Gaza. Yes, the Israelis need to get those remaining hostages back, and there are 20 or 21 live hostages. There's said to be 59 total hostages, so the vast majority are in fact dead, but there is this question of getting them back, and the Israelis continue to wage war in order to secure their release and to try to remove Hamas from power. The thing, though, is that if when you look at what's being reported out of Israel, the top leadership of Hamas is eviscerated. We believe that Mohammed Sinwar, the head of Hamas, the head of the war effort in Gaza, has now been killed after a strike that the Israelis landed about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. There does not really appear to be much in the way of senior leadership rising back up to fill the gaps left by some of these senior leaders. So the question then becomes, how much more can be gleaned from this war? And what the Germans are saying is it's really echoing what the Egyptians, the Jordanians, and some of the other countries in the Arab world, the Europeans also, they've been saying, look, you've destroyed Hamas. Now let's figure out a way to negotiate. And that's what Stephen Witkoff is doing, the president's envoy right now. He is trying to push both sides to a full end of conflict agreement. Whether he's going to be successful is an open question. It appears right now that Mr. Witkoff is very unhappy with Hamas. He doesn't like the fact that they're still not talking about a full end of conflict agreement. He's trying to secure this full thing. It does appear, though, that he is in lockstep with Germany and, of course, many of the other countries in Europe that have been chastising Israel for the continuation of this war. But again, John, I don't see how any of this ends without a full release of all of the remaining hostages. There needs to be an end of conflict agreement. It doesn't appear that Hamas is ready to do this. So I don't really understand the end game, at least not right now.
Jonathan Schanzer is the executive director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We're going to Syria.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.